This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from the Blueberry Studio by Convo by Design in Columbus, Ohio. And tonight's show, Alexa knows your home address. Zuckerberg has a podcast. A Russian wingman shot his flight mate down. An Enterprise now has a car subscription. I want to welcome you to episode 1348 of the Geek News Central podcast for Wednesday, April 24th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners and all the folks that are part of the Ohana. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. Of course, I want to make sure that all of you are new. Visit GeekNewsCentral.com. Get over to the website. Get subscribed to the show. You'll find that on the right-hand column of the website. And when you're there as well, sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about in today's show and is exact duplication of what is in the show notes at GeekNewsCentral.com. Of course, you can listen to the show on Blueberry.com or you can listen on a smart home device by saying the keyword to launch that device and say to play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or you can join the Slack channel that we have for Geek News Central by emailing me geeknews@gmail.com, which is also the email address to email me about the show. Again, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Please follow me on Facebook, and of course, follow our partner shows. They're all linked to Geek News Central, includes GNC Week in Review, The Gadget Professor, The Pro Gear Site, The New Media Show, and The Podcast Legend Show. Of course, you can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show is supported, of course, by our sponsor, which is GoDaddy.com at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Whether it be 30% off on a GoDaddy product or service, a 99cent.com for new or transferred domains, the 30-day trial of GoDaddy website builder for business owners, or a hosting account, whether it be a managed WordPress hosting account or a standard WordPress hosting account, you can pick up those two products for $1 a month for the first year or $12 plus a free domain name. So head on over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, pick up a domain name, sign up for a hosting account, and I tell you, this is a great opportunity for you here. If you haven't started to think about creating your own brand, your own podcast, your own place to spout off about what's going on in the world or even to share your current experience, this is a great way to do so. Lots of domain names available today. I just saw one that was .hr. They even have domains now for human resource groups or HR departments. So it's crazy the number of top-level domains are out there available. So and you're just not getting a .com. You can pick up almost any genre today, just like geeknews.show. So definitely check out all the product offerings at GoDaddy. Use that 30% discount code or grab a hosting account. Again, we thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here in part of our family and yours. And I want to hope that all of you will continue to support the sponsor and pick up a product or service. So just to get you guys caught up, boy, I'm going to tell you, it's been, you know, we did a show Monday night and the audio levels were real, real hot. I'd got the studio wired up, but I really didn't get it dialed in audio-wise. So I spent a little bit of time on Tuesday getting the audio levels tweaked. I'm pretty happy where they are now. We'll see tonight after we get into the show. But the main thing is that at this point, I'm pretty happy where we're at and leaving the studio in a much better position than it was when I got here, and we even did some tweaking today on some of the shelving units. But so did a show on Monday, and then it's just been crazy. It's already Wednesday already, and I'm like, I'm exhausted. Left here after a meetup last night about 9 p.m. I had podcasters in from Columbus as part of their monthly meetup. And then it's been a whirlwind of meetings, and then team members have been coming into the office. Barry Kantz, our CFO, arrived late this afternoon. Mike Dell got in late last night. He's our supervisor of our support team. So by tomorrow afternoon, the entire, at least the majority of the Blueberry team will be here in Columbus to kick off really 2.5 days of getting down and dirty and what we're doing and processes and what we're going to be doing for the next year or so. So I'm pretty excited about the meeting and basically being head deep in the podcasting space here, as we would say. But anyway, as a reminder, there will be no shows next week. My schedule is such that I just don't think it's going to be possible. So there'll be no podcast next week. So this is the last show, even though it's early. Now, I will be doing a new media show tomorrow with Rob Greenlee. I've etched out an hour of time to be with him. So I'm going to record that, and that'll probably be up on Spreaker Live. We'll do that there. But other than that, you guys will be without me for a week. So just keep you advised there. But anyway, that's what's been going on. And thanks for being part of the Ohana here. Thanks for staying subscribed to the show. I got a great lineup of content for you tonight, for sure. We'll kick right off here with the Amazon Alexa. And I apologize if I just triggered your device. Well, apparently it can find, the team can find your home address in seconds. And, you know, in the world of smart assistants, we know that this particular device is one of the most popular and widely used. You know, privacy concerns surrounding these devices, you know, include Google's device. But what's a little more surprising, and maybe shouldn't be surprising, according to a new report from Bloomberg, employees of Amazon's data service team have access to people's precise home locations, in some cases, phone names, phone numbers, and more. And the data service team is in charge of reviewing recordings of Alexa conversations to help train the AI and has thousands of members in Boston, India, Romania, per Bloomberg. And now, while there's no indication that Amazon employees with access to the data have attempted to track down individual users, two members of the team expressed concern to Bloomberg that Amazon was granting unnecessarily broad access to customer data, that it would make it easy to identify a device's owners. Now, if you buy a device, have it shipped to your home, it's set up underneath your account, you can pretty much know Amazon as a whole knows where that device is. But at the same time, I travel with an Amazon Alexa device. So is it using some other tool to know where I'm at if I'm not at the home of record of where my Amazon Prime account is? So it is an interesting admission, at least. But the team over there is saying, nope. We're good. We're not causing a problem. We're not spying. But we know how that goes. It's been announced today that Mark Zuckerberg debuted his own Tech in Society podcast. And so this is interesting. And he's setting down with luminaries, quote unquote, to chat about the social impact of technology. There really isn't any more details about the length of the series or just where you'll find it. So far, it's only been found on Spotify, and you won't be surprised to find it on Facebook as well, because Facebook has some podcast already that they're doing internally. So to my knowledge, this will be the second or third actual official podcast that comes out of Facebook. And Facebook is telling Engadget that these are audio versions of actual videos that Zuckerberg is posting to his profile. So we'll see what happens here. And they're saying that the team is actually saying in a follow-up that you can expect the podcast to come to different platforms as we move forward. So it'll be interesting to hear that particular podcast. Well, there's a leaked report, and Jack, you're going to love this. And any of our military guys who have either flown or worked in the fighter wings, a leaked report says that a Russian Air Force MiG-31 was shot down by his wingmen, and it was shot down because of poor exercise design. The crew survived, but this happened nearly 2 years ago. The interceptor went down during an exercise over what is called the Tembla proving grounds in Siberia. So, but apparently there's an independent organization has revealed the linked government document. They give a pretty embarrassing details about the incident in which this jet was shot down by another MiG-31. And boy, oh boy, that, I don't know, has that ever, I wonder if that has ever happened where we've, I know we shoot drones down on a regular basis, and we have jets that have been converted that fly and are used in test scenarios, but I wonder if in America, if we've ever accidentally shot down one of our own aircraft, and the MiG-31 was using an R-33 air-to-air missile, and which is specifically designed for the MiG-31 and uses a semi-active guidance in the first part of its flight. And it usually follows the radar return from the tracking beam of the radar that it's assigned to get close enough, and then it flips on its own radar for the terminal guidance. That is always a nasty surprise when you get something up the tailpipe like that. But, wow, kind of interesting news. Also, Enterprise, and, you know, I'm beginning to look at this. I thought, I wonder how much this cost, because my team rents quite a few cars every month. And I don't know if this is tied to a certain individual, but the parent holding company of Enterprise Rent-A-Car, Enterprise Holdings, announced that they plan to launch a car subscription service. It's the car rental giant's first foray into the mobility as a service space and could possibly disrupt car companies' own efforts to offer alternatives to car ownership. Enterprise is saying that customers will pay a monthly fee to choose from 6 different vehicle classes: full-size, premium sedans, small and mid-size SUVs, and small and medium-sized trucks, representing more than 20 makes and models. The company did not disclose the amount of the monthly fee, but customers will be able to swap out vehicles up to 4 times per month. Other expenses like physical damage, liability coverage, maintenance, registration, roadside assistance, and Sirius radio are included in the monthly fee. Enterprise expects to launch a program in the next few weeks. So this is pretty exciting stuff, and we'll see what the pricing comes out. It's probably more than the cost of a brand new car's monthly car payment. Little news out of Facebook in regards to earnings report. It appears in the 3 months ending March 31st of 2019. It's the 3 months ending of March 31st of this year. They had about $14.9 billion in revenue. And let's see here, what was their net income? Their net income really wasn't that fantastic. It was $14 billion? So that is in, I'm making sure I got the right number here. Oh, their net income was $2.4 billion. Diluted earnings per share was 85 cents. And so they had a nice quarter, but they're setting aside $3 billion ahead of a record FTC fine over privacy violations. So they're gearing up for a massive financial penalty over repeated privacy violations. And this is going to hurt a little bit. But if they set aside the $3 billion and still cleared $2.4 billion, I think they're probably in pretty good shape. And so anyway, that was the earning announcements from the folks at Facebook, and a little money set aside for that. At the same time, Microsoft announced that they had revenue of $30.6 billion, an increase of 14% over last year. Operating income was $10.3 billion, an increase of 25%. Net income was $8.8 billion, an increase of 19%. And diluted earnings per share is $1.14. So this is huge. Microsoft also returned $7.4 billion to shareholders in the form of share repurchases and dividends in the third quarter of fiscal 2019. And they're saying the demand of our cloud offering drove commercial cloud revenue to $9.6 billion this quarter. So it tells you the cloud business is big. Cloud is big. So another good quarter for Microsoft. Now imagine this, folks. This is a good one. You've got your Apple Watch on. It's waterproof. You decide that you're going to go out and do some surfing. In the midst of your surfing, you get your Apple Watch knocked off and it sinks to the bottom of the ocean blue. Well, you know, it's gone forever, right? Well, wrong. So this guy had turned on lost mode for his watch, and he gave up from ever finding it again and bought a new one to replacement. But just recently, a beachcomber discovered the watch 3 miles from where it was originally lost and called up Banter to reunite him with the gadget. The screen is a bit of a haze on it, but the watch works fine. Guess how long it was in the water? It was in the water for 6 months. 6 months, and it still works. Now, while Apple's original vision of the watch only had basic water resistance and water exposure up to 50 meters, Apple says its watches aren't waterproof. It is unknown how much time the watch spent in the water versus on the beach, but this is pretty amazing. Now, we're just wondering now if someone's going to do some additional test on this, but wow, pretty cool story. Even if it survived on the beach, even if it wasn't in the water all the time, that's still a pretty impressive story. So he must have lost it pretty close to the shore edge, not deep out, because it would have probably never... the tide probably would never pushed it in. So kind of cool, yeah? All right, there's a good article on Lifehacker, how to play the Apple Music in any browser. Some folks will say, how can I do this if I'm on Windows? He says, some folks, I can't stay in iTunes when I'm on any app, on any platform. But apparently there's an open source web app called MUSI.SH, and someone has crafted a lovely-looking web-based player of Apple Music that you can listen to directly from your favorite browser rather than having to deal with iTunes at all. PlayAppleMusic.com used to be an option, but the site no longer seems to work. But you can go to MUSI.SH, click on the Just Browse to give the web-based experience a peek. Once you're ready for the real deal, click on the Connect to Apple Music button and start linking your account with your service. Your credentials should be secure since the site appears to be using Apple sign-in and authentication process to forge the connection. Wow. Once you've signed into the Apple account, you see a pretty web interface that looks kind of like what you'd otherwise see in iTunes, only now in your browser. So you just wonder how long this will last. You know Apple's going to bring the hammer on this for sure. Speaking of Apple, Apple may unveil 2 new AirPod models by the end of 2019. While the very first AirPods are wonderful, you get a lot more battery life out of them, just about an additional hour. One of the big leakers of information claims that Apple has 2 new AirPod variants launching sometime between the fourth quarter of 2019 and the first quarter of 2020, which would make sense if it's the fourth quarter or first quarter of 2020, based on the models that came out this year. So we'll keep an eye on that as we move down the road. Also, there's been some stuff revealed in court. Apple allegedly plotted to hurt Qualcomm years before it sued the company. Qualcomm has presented internal Apple documents during its opening arguments in court that it showed Apple's efforts to pressure it. Slides with the details of those documents viewed by reporters in court have been made public, and you can see the slides linked in the article that I'm going to have for you in the show notes. But in September of 14, a document from Apple titled QCOM, Future Scenarios, detailed ways the company could exert pressure on Qualcomm, including by working with Intel on 4G modems for the iPhone. Apple and its manufacturer partners didn't actually file suit against Qualcomm until more than 2 years later. A second page of that document titled QCM, Options and Recommendations, where Apple considered it beneficial to wait to revoke a patent fight until after the end of 2016 when its contracts with Qualcomm would expire. So I don't know if this means anything negative or it's just part of the court battle here. We'll see. But there's more details about this actual process. It's available online. You can take a look at it in a linked article that you'll find at geeknewscentral.com. 4 designers around the world are now able to work together digitally in VR. Even the last time I went to Dearborn and toured a Ford facility, I was able to look at some of their DR VR capability. And it was pretty impressive. They would have a vehicle and then a person in an outfit that would track all movement, and they would replicate parts being installed, parts being removed. It was all part of the process for them to figure out how cars would be worked on when they were gone to the dealer and so forth. But now the designers can work together, and it's kind of cool what they're able to do. And it's some good graphics that are in this particular article, and allows for collaborative work and even, I would imagine, instructional type videos giving different engineers information on the design and how things are going to go together and how it works and, you know, you name it. And of course, you got this digital world to work in where you can do all kinds of things virtually as well. So very, very exciting. And Ford has been on the leading front of that for a long, long time. Over in space.com, there's got some great Hubble space images. And they say that these are the best telescope images of all times from Hubble. There's 12 different images. They're pretty amazing. There's one or two in there that are going to make my desktop rotation. Very, very cool stuff. So I have the link up for you there to definitely take a peek at that. Virgin Galactic is expecting a rapid conclusion of Spaceship 2's test flights after some downtime here. They believe the company will be able to go through the remainder of its test program fairly quickly once test flights of the suborbital space plane resume. In an interview during the 35th Space Symposium, David McKay said the Spaceship Two vehicle called VSS Unity, which he piloted to the edge of space, is currently undergoing work that includes outfitting the interior with the cabin the company plans to use on commercial flights that will carry space tourists. He says the next time it flies, he says, we expect to have a full commercial cabin installed. He said a few other modifications to the vehicle also in progress, such as changes to the cockpit displays. He says this time may be fairly long. He says once we get out of that, we should be able to get through the remainder of the test program pretty quickly and get into commercial service. Now, if you think about it, they're saying, well, how long does it take to outfit the interior of a spacecraft to support humans for human flight? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's probably pretty complicated. They probably have some incredible G requirements they have to, and stress, lots of things they have to test for to make sure that when they do strap a passenger in and they go to orbit and re-entry and any maneuvering that has to be done or G-pulls, that the seats don't snap off and people crash into the wall and die or even cause a flight mishap. So I'm sure it's going to take a while for the commercial cabin to be put together and deemed safe. So exciting to see what that looks like when it's done, though. I would imagine it's still going to be a pretty bare-bones ride considering what they have planned. Speaking of space, it's being reported that high-altitude auroras create what they call speed bumps for satellites. So high-altitude auroras help move pockets of air up where some low-altitude spacecraft roam. Now, a high-altitude version of the Northern Lights could be an example for this, and it basically drives air up far enough in the atmosphere that it causes a drag, increases drag on spacecraft that zip around the Earth. Now, drag on spacecraft generally means slowing them down, lowering their orbit, and this is not good. So they're able to, during a recent mission, they were able to unlock some of the mystery around why this happens by discovering that the bumps are much more complicated and structured. This mission reference is a rocket experiment for the Neutral Upwelling 2, a brief suborbital flight that was launched from Norway in December 2015. And the rocket observed poleward moving auroras form, which are dimmer and less energetic than normal Northern Lights that grace postcards and posters. But it was enough to make a difference, and they were able to gain some significant data. It's kind of interesting if you think about it. It was able to push the air up that much higher in the atmosphere. So what did they reference? How high? It said occurring as far as 250 miles above the ground compared to about 60 miles for the more familiar and picturesque cousins. So in these upwelling events, Earth's auroras result with charged particles from the sun slam into molecules in our planet's atmosphere, blah, blah, blah. So I guess it just pushes air higher. They don't say exactly how much higher, but wow. PMAF. What is a PMAF? Poleward moving auroral forms. Oh, okay. So that's quite high in the atmosphere and into space, actually. Last article from space.com, they're reporting there are toxic fungi in space, and no one knows if they're dangerous. Potentially, of course, people aren't dying on an international space station, but potentially dangerous fungi are living on space stations and spacecraft right now. And scientists need to do more research to figure it out if they're actually could be lethal. But they're really, really concerned about this. We've talked about this in the show before. We know the Earth is teeming with microscopic inhabitants such as bacteria and single-celled fungi. So it's no surprise that these constant companions have managed to hitchhike with humans aboard the International Space Station and other space-going vehicles. While science has done a fair amount of research on bacteria in space, fungi remains relatively understudied. Part of the reason that these microbial mushroom cousins typically cause health problems only in people who live under stressful conditions or who have severely compromised immune systems. Now, wouldn't that be the case in space? You're under some stress? I don't know. One thing that's always drove me crazy with my wife's EV car is getting EV maps updated, and her car will often show where there's an EV station, but sometimes we find them where they're not mapped. But now Google Maps has made some changes, and they starting today, you can see real-time availability of charging ports in the U.S. and U.K. right from Google Maps. So now if you know if chargers are available before you head to a location, and you can simply search for EV charging stations to see the update information from networks like ChargeMaster, EVgo, SemiConnect, and soon ChargePoint. You'll see then see how many ports are currently available, along with other helpful details. The key is ports available. Those Nissan Leaf bugs, which my friend likes to call them, they seem to be the ones that are always on the charger just because of their shorter range. They have to be on the juice pad a lot more. I would never own another Nissan Leaf. And I think my wife is in agreement with that. I think now when she moves to the next vehicle, which will be this fall, it'll be some sort of hybrid. Slack. Boy, I love Slack. I'm being honest with you. It is an incredible communications tool. It's completely changed the way I do business, how my company does business, how I interact with even the writers on the Geek News Central blogging team. But Slack is bridging email to chat. I don't know if that's good. And they're going to improve calendar integration and search. And most of these features will be available later this year, primarily integration with Office 365. And so that's kind of exciting stuff here. It depends on how it's integrated, I guess. If I could send an email to Slack, I think that would be cool. I really could. I don't see sending emails out of Slack to be needed, but maybe into Slack would be nice. Anchor, I love this company, has a new 60-watt USB-C charger. Looks like the one we've been waiting for here, folks. This one is a dual head charger. You can basically power two MacBooks at the same time with this. And this thing's got the juice. It's available on April 29th for $54.99. Again, it can charge two computers, or it can run two computers, two MacBook Pros at once. So this one's got the power to do some serious charging damage here, all right? This is kind of an interesting article on Tech Dirt. Federal agents basically using a tape box. Well, let me just say this again. If you're sending something via FedEx from, let's say, Ohio to Arizona, and if you're over taping and you tape the edges, you may find that your box is open before it gets to Arizona if you send it via FedEx. So here's how we're fighting the war on drugs. Lots of stuff going on, but not much seems to be happening in terms of keeping drugs from the end user. But there's some reports out that federal agents camp out at major air traffic hubs looking for nothing but cash. The DEA is actually paying TSA agents to search for cash and alert officers if any amount worth seizing rolls through checkpoints. So you do realize that I don't know about internal United States travel, but if you definitely travel anywhere out of the country and you have more than $10,000 you have to declare it. I don't know about traveling state to state, but maybe if you're flying from Ohio to Arizona, you might be singled out. But this also refers to FedEx. The filing they received let us know that what the government finds suspicious in terms of packaging and sending stuff across the country. If you're using FedEx and one of their boxes but apply a little bit too much tape, you might be a drug dealer. And not one of their self-sealing boxes, one of their boxes you can get at their stores. Boxes, tape, and overnight shipping are literally what FedEx is known for, but these officers uncovered a lot of suspicious stuff once they were in the boxes, packages of cash wrapped in fabric softeners. But how did the feds know to get into these boxes? It's not really being revealed. But it appears that they're running dogs around boxes that alerted to cash. And probably, you know, all cash that is out there today is probably infused with some sort of narcotic. So probably easy for the dog to trigger on that. But also, basically some of the information they were able to determine was that some of the boxes were heavily taped and being shipped to Arizona, known by law enforcement as a source for illegal controlled substances. And the same assertions made by several states and major cities. In total, there was $108,000 forfeited as suspected drug proceeds. The final nail in the coffin is the background check on the package recipient. So I've been in Las Vegas, and I've used my address in Hawaii as the from and to. Well, I guess that is something that is really causes feds' radar to get up. But they still have to have some sort of probable cause to be able to open these boxes up. But anyway, there's a court filing out that talks about some of this. But yeah, put too much tape on your boxes, folks, and they may just be open because people may think you're shipping cash. Is it illegal? I don't even know. Is it illegal to ship? Let's say I wanted to send $2,000 in a FedEx envelope in cash. Is that illegal? Can I not do that? I don't even know. I don't think I would do it. But can you, is that even, people say send a check. But what if I don't have a checkbook and I want to send cash? Or better yet, why not a money order? Right? But I guess you can't go, you know, money orders, what are they limited to, $300 or something like that? So I guess you could go to the gas station and get 10 $300 money orders or whatever amount you're going to send. But yeah, interesting. I don't know. I honestly don't know the law if you can ship money you know, yours to another legally or not. I don't see why not. It's kind of stupid to do so, but yeah, I guess they're looking for the cash. I guess you run the risk of having it considered to be drug money if you send too much. AT&T CEO says 5G phone plans might be tiered and price based on data speeds. If you want gigabit speeds on your phone, get ready to pay up. This is not coming as a surprise. Now, AT&T's actual 5G network, not the carrier's misleading 5GE nonsense, is currently live in 19 markets in the United States, but only a single device can take advantage of 5G, and that's the Samsung Galaxy S10 5G. And I guess that device at some point will actually make it to AT&T after a period of exclusivity on Verizon Wireless. So in a second Samsung-branded device able to utilize both 5G mmWave and sub-6 gigahertz network will release in the second half of the year. So, but they're saying you're going to have to pay. Let me see here. What do they say so far? I think you expect the status quo unlimited plan during 5G's infancy. Verizon charges an extra $10 for 5G access, which is only available on Motorola's 5G Moto Mod device, but has so far refrained from speed tiers. But once coverage starts and it spreads significantly, they're probably going to do a shift here. So we'll keep an eye on it. But get ready for your bill to go up. If you have the need for speed, you're going to pay more. The Academy Awards has decided they're not going to change its rules. They're going to continue to exclude Netflix from the Oscars. Wow. Netflix, Amazon, and other streaming services will continue to be free to submit their films to the Oscars next year. But they're not changing the rules. And they made it clearly more advantageous to favor films intended primarily for theaters. And the Academy announced that Rule 2, which says a film is eligible to be considered for an Oscar so long as it had a 7-day run in an LA theater, will remain unchanged for the 92nd Academy Awards. That's so stupid. Suggesting that should the awards in 2020, unchanged for the 92nd Awards in 2020, despite suggesting that it should be changed to require longer theatrical runs for potential nominees. Wow. So you won't see Netflix, you won't see Amazon, you won't see Apple up there getting does this even matter? I guess for the people making the movie, it does. For the rest of us, we really don't care, right? The Verge has a good article talking about it's Elon Musk versus everyone else in the race for fully driverless cars. And actually, they showed a prototype off of a new car coming from the team that has no steering wheel. So imagine driving a Tesla having the car drive you. So at Tesla's Autonomy Day, Elon Musk was full of trash talk for his competitors and their technology. And he says that his LiDAR he says LiDAR is doomed. He says LiDAR, the light beam sensor practically everyone views as a central ingredient for self-driving cars, is a fool's errand. What's more, he went on, anyone relying on LiDAR is doomed. Expensive sensors are unnecessary. It's like having a whole bunch of expensive appendices you'll see. The simulation programs engineers use to run their virtual driving cars through millions of edge case scenarios to rack up billions of driving miles are good, but not good enough. We have quite a good simulation too, but it just does not capture the long tail of weird things that happen in the real world. He says high-precision GPS maps for self-driving cars are a really bad idea. He said, resulting in a system becomes extremely brittle by being too dependent and not being able to adapt. Also, Tesla said it will have its Level 5 autonomous vehicles that can drive anywhere under any condition ready to go by 2020, no geographic constraints, and not just a handling of vehicles either. A rear from now will have over a million cars with full self-driving software. He says everything. So we'll see. We will see where this goes. And I don't follow this tech too close, the LiDAR stuff definitely adds serious costs for sure. Let's talk about community broadband again. You know, on this show, we've long talked about community broadband. And we know that there's about a little over 750 towns, cities, and counties that have responded to U.S. broadband market failure by building their own broadband networks. We've also talked about how data has shown these networks often offers better service at really lower and more transparent prices. We've also talked about the length of how some AT&T and Comcast and others have gone to stop muni broadband. New report has found that 26 states now either restrict or outright prohibit towns and cities from building their own broadband networks. Quite often, the laws are directly written by the telecom sector and in some instances ban towns and cities from building their own broadband networks, even if the local ISP refuses to provide service. The full report by Broadband Now, which is a consumer-focused company that tracks U.S. broadband availability, indicates the total number of state restrictions on community broadband has jumped from 20 such restrictions since the group's last report in 2018. So it's gotten bad. ISP lobbyists paying off lawmakers, sweetening their pot to basically put Muni Broadband in check while giving the folks like Comcast and AT&T full license to, well, number one, not provide service, and to basically prevent competition in local areas. You need to stay on top of this, folks. If you hear about Muni Broadband restrictions going in place, please, you've been educated on this show about how bad this is. Please, please, please get out there and be vocal and support Muni Broadband. It's a good thing. It really is. And for many that don't have broadband, this is, if you have broadband and you're happy, great. But if you have friends that don't, you know the impact. So be active. Be part of the Ohana here. Stand up and fight and tell your legislatures what you think and basically push for Muni Broadband to be allowed. So it goes into some details of some of the things that have been happening in the space. But anyway, that's, you know, what I wanted to share with you today. Relatively high impact, fast show, and from the studio here, and I think that the audio tonight should be on a little level better, so I hope it is. And again, we've been in the Convo by the Blueberry Studio by Convo by Design is the company that built us our beautiful studio desk. I'm using a Mika boom arm. I'm on a SM7B microphone, using Ars Technica headsets. And then I got a Mackie mixer down here. We're actually recording to a Denon recorder, which is pretty cool. So lots of cool stuff in the studio here. And we're getting ready to open this up to the public. If you live in the Columbus area, drop me an email and we'll see about getting you on the schedule. We're working out some legal stuff we have to do to have people sign liability disclaimers and all that. If you lose your recording, it's not our fault. But we're going to open the studio up here and let some people come in and use this during working hours. It's not a place where you're going to be able to throw a party or anything, but you want to come in and record a podcast, you should be able to do that. So again, it's been my pleasure to bring you show this evening. And I know it's a rare Wednesday show, but I wanted to get one more out before the festivities of my team start here in Columbus. It's been my pleasure to bring you the podcast tonight. Don't forget about my sponsor over at GoDaddy, geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. If you're not an insider yet, consider becoming one. We consider your $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month donation to be really a vote of confidence for the show. And it definitely helps go a long way in paying the writers and taking care of some of the bills we incur here at the podcast. So other than that, I want to thank everyone being part of the family tonight and tuning in. It's kind of interesting to do the show from here instead of my hotel room, but I think that will be the operation normal when I travel down. That way I don't have to travel down with a recording kit anymore unless I'm going to some other city. But again, no show next week. Just the schedule is going to be too crazy while I'm on the East Coast. But I'll be back with you a week from Monday and back in Honolulu for some of the final shows there before we get ready to pack up the studio and send it to Michigan. But again, it's been my pleasure being in the podcast tonight. Thank you for being part of the Ohana. I will see everyone back again a week from Monday. Geeknews@gmail.com for your comments. And everyone take care. Have a great one. Aloha.